Cinco de Five-O.
I thought I deleted these. I apologize. All right, Cinco de Five. Oh, that was abrupt. Cinco de Five is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. And Sean just alluded to it a few hours ago. You heard it here. Mike Brown's introductory press conference. And as you guys know, it is Knicks in 26. So I was super excited to hear what the new head coach had to say. So I'm going to give you, with audio, my five biggest takeaways from Mike Brown's introductory press conference. All right?
Nice. Here we go.
Here we go. Paulie's not.
Here we go.
Number five.
He's too busy doing nothing. All right. Here's number five. This is one of the questions that I wanted to ask the coach, and that was the idea of Karl Anthony Towns and Mitchell Robinson both together in the starting lineup. So this is what Coach had to say.
I'm excited that they're both on the team, obviously, because they're two different players. You know, Mitchell's a vertical threat. Cat, as you know, is a space threat, and so to have the versatility that those two guys bring to the table is going to be a lot of fun.
So let me just say this. If Mitchell Robinson's healthy, he should be in the starting lineup. Josh Hart should come off the bench. I don't know if Mitchell Robinson will be healthy all year long.
I think you're putting
like
words in Mike Brown's mouth, though. He didn't say that.
I am. Oh, well, I think that was a lot of coach. There was a lot of coach speak there.
It sounded like I have no idea what the hell my plan is for them.
I know they're two great, potential great players for me. Maybe together they'll be good, but right now I have no idea. Well, that's what that sounded like.
Well, ask me again in September.
Yes.
Should hire me for a staff. All right, here we go.
Number four.
All right, something that no matter who took over this job would have to deal with, and that's the idea of expectations. So Mike Brown was asked about expectations taking over for a team with championship, you know, aspirations.
Nobody has any bigger expectations, first of all, than I do. I mean, my expectations are high. But I mean, this is the Knicks. I talked about Madison Square Garden being iconic. I love and embrace the expectations that come along with it.
Okay. Okay. Just once, I would like somebody associated with getting hired by a team at Madison Square Garden, when they reference the Garden being iconic, to go, I'm tired of the Garden being iconic for what opponents do here. It's time that we make our own mark here, because that's certainly what it feels like.
Well, they didn't hire Rex Ryan. They didn't hire Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
They hired Mike Brown. That's the only guy in the history, and I know you did, which is funny, too, because, well, I guess he did it more where he kind of besmirched the Giants, That's what Rex sort of did. He kind of planted his flag.
It's just everybody that comes here always talks about how iconic, and it is an iconic building, but can our teams here, you know, win something substantial anytime in some of our lifetimes, please, in that building?
Number three.
All right, one of the things that I think led to Tibbs getting fired is that he wasn't able to evolve as a head coach. He's kind of been the same guy throughout all his stops, a little rigid, a little stubborn. So Brown talked about, you know, evolving as a head coach.
If you don't evolve, no matter what profession you're in, I'm sure you guys feel it too, especially some of you guys that have been around for a long time. Uh-huh. Okay, I'm not going to say any names. I'm just pointing out that way. I'm not saying any names. But for some of you guys that's been around a long time, and you feel the young bucks, I'm not pointing it or saying it, you feel the young bucks clawing at the back of your heels. And so, you know, learning, growing, evolving throughout the course of your time of where you're at is something that I'm a firm believer in.
I think that's key.
I wonder if they got offended by that.
But I like that, though. He tried to be really personalized.
But he's basically calling out some of those older.
Yeah. You got younger people clipping at you, too.
I know.
Be careful. I like that answer from him, though. And by the way, that's the truth, because when you judge somebody like Mike Brown being hired, we're going to look at what he did at all these past stops. I want to hear that you've learned, and it's not just the same old, same old.
I agree.
Right, especially when you haven't won a championship. You want to hear that you've evolved, because that's the thing with Tibbs. He never won a title, and he didn't evolve with the Knicks.
Exactly.
And that's what led to his dismissal. Here we go.
Number two.
All right, I touched on this a little bit earlier, but we didn't have the audio. Now we do. The pandering. Which I love. I'm a sucker for it. I mean, I think that Mike Brown set it up perfectly in his, you know, opening statement, and that was, you know, pandering to all the Knicks fans out there.
You talk about a historic franchise.
Historic.
Madison Square Garden.
Madison Square Garden.
It's iconic.
Iconic.
Our fans.
Fans, right.
They're the most knowledgeable.
Yep.
And passionate.
Yep.
Probably in all of sports.
Yeah, definitely smarter than Net fans. So he really won me over with just, you know, putting over the building, putting over the fans, putting over everybody. That's smart. You know, you butter up to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Definitely. I don't
kiss
know that I'd put that number
of the fan.
I can't believe that he's putting that number two, though.
Oh, he's because he's talking
things
to him.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike Brown was talking directly to Positive Tommy.
Exactly. Maybe he could be Positive Mike.
Yes.
We could work, and with Positive Ben Stiller, we could work in unison.
Not number one.
Yeah, Avengers.
I think he was more talking to Timothy Chalamet, Kylie Jenner, and Ben well, Stiller than Tommy.
I'm working my way up. All right, okay. So number one, here we go.
Number one.
It's Chalamet.
A sustainable winning culture that produces championships. That's why I'm here.
That's why he's here, and that's what he's building. You throw that word championship out there, and that's
didn't.
What you... Yeah, he did.
He threw championships
out
there.
Oh.
Even better. Multiple championships. So Knicks in 26 and beyond.
That'd make it tingle a little bit.
Oh, you
I noticed that one.
You play that clip over and over again. And why not? You have a team with a 3 to 5 year window. That's enough time for championships.
We needed a... We're the freaking New York Knicks.
And we're built for this.
Very good, Tommy.
Oh! Kiss my fat ass!
We're back!
You're hired, Rosie.
By the way, you and I need to have a three-way. Well, enough with that. But I took a call yesterday. I wanted him to come on the air. He didn't. We played that clip of the Kiss My Fat Ass. We got a call from a Lyft driver who basically said, you know, if you play that, I have to turn you guys off. And I'm like, but I couldn't get the explanation. And it's like, she's like, well, there's this lady in the back seat. What is this? You know, we're not, it's not PBS. I mean, this is not, we could say ass. I mean, it's not
a big, it's a donkey.
Well, yeah, exactly. Correct. Or you. You know, however you want to interpret it.
That's not nice at all.
I'm not here to be nice. It's not, you know, we're not doing nice. We said we have to be nice to each other.
Okay.
But did he feel bad for his passenger?
No, I think he just was like, I don't know what it was. I wanted him to get on air because I thought it'd be a good radio, but he was like not having it. So he's a caller. He's not like a
I like
jerk.
That, though. We should be on more like Lyfts and Ubers and stuff because, you know, you get in the back seat. Maybe you've never heard us before.
That's right.
And then you hear us. You go, what are you listening to?
Well, that's the
thing. That's how you grow the listenership. Right.
And then they hear, oh, you can listen to this on the free Odyssey app.
Right.
Imagine.
Or tune in or...
iHeart, yeah.
Sean's got the copy.
Remember, you can listen to Evan and Tiki on the Odyssey iHeart Radio or TuneIn apps.
Imagine you're visiting New York City, which a lot of people do in the summer from, I don't know, outside Russia or something. Mm-hmm. You get the Lyft, and you speak English. You understand what's going on. And the first thing you hear is an Evan AI song.
Right.
And you're thinking, what has happened to this country?
Right. Some guy from Russia gets in the back seat and goes, I knew Spike ruined the station.
Or you hear fake Shador Sanders say, D's nuts.
All right. What else you got? That was it, right? Didn't you have something else for us?
Oh, yes, I do. But in order to get it to you, I need a little bit of time.
So all right, so let's take a call. Can we take a call? We're going to take a call on bats. Doc in Wayne. Doc, what's up?
What's up? Hey, hi, guys.
You knew that was coming.
Listen, Tiki, I need to tell you something.
Go ahead.
Okay, internist doctors will tell you that if you find a bat in your house,
okay,
You need to ask your doctor whether or not you need a rabies shot.
Oh, God.
And I'm not kidding about this.
Why? Go ahead.
This is serious. That is on the internal medicine boards. It's a question. What do you do if someone says, I have a bat in my house? You need to recommend a rabies vaccine. So, Tiki, I think you should call your doctor, your physician. And see what they recommend.
Doc, before we hang up, can I ask?
Why? What's the reason?
Yeah,
for
like,
that?
Do you think that the bat took like an accidental nibble overnight on Tiki?
Exactly. You never know.
What?
You know, they can bite you and you wouldn't even know it. Oh. And of course, they are notorious rabies carriers.
Of course.
So you can't take a chance. Hmm. And I would, you know, I'm not recommending it other than you call your physician and see what your physician recommends.
All right. Well, Dr. Tamris, you're getting a call.
Oh, I can't sleep tonight. I can't sleep in a world where people aren't waking up knowing they got bit by a bat.
I also have a soon-to-be 9-year-old and 11-year-old and their grandmother, my mother-in-law, in the house right now. Plus two dogs.
My heart, and your dog would bark. My heart is racing. Could you imagine? Would you survive if you woke up in the middle of the night, you had like one, you felt something, your eyes did that like half
a bat on you,
and you look and you just see like half a wing because that's all you could spot out of the corner of your eye. And you turn and the bat is clamped on, giving you a bite on your neck. What
I would think it's Dracula.
What would happen first?
I would think it's Dracula.
Urination, number two, or heart attack?
Probably the heart attack.
Me too.
Heart attack's a slam dunk.
Definitely. I don't survive that. I don't survive that at all.
Oh, especially if you turn into a vampire and you're now undead.
And then you make a Sherlock Holmes movie.
About vampires. Well, the reason they didn't is because until 2023, the Conan Doyle family...
Mm-hmm. We know them well.
Owned the copyright or the trademark, whichever one it was.
To Dracula?
To Sherlock Holmes.
I'm all over the place, man.
And so you couldn't make any movies without their approval, and it just expired. And so now you can do whatever you want with it.
That's
just like the Disney one expired, but you haven't seen like crazy stuff happen
right.
Like Mickey Mouse.
No, there was one.
There was the Winnie the Pooh one. Where they were like it's a teen slasher.
Yeah.
Right. They were taking out people.
So
at
you
a
might
fair.
See it now with Sherlock Holmes.
Gotcha.
I don't need that.
Mm.
What?
All right. So we do have some Mets news here on a return from Kodai Senga. This is Mendy here speaking about it.
Guys, make a decision on Senga.
Yeah. So as of right now, the goal is for him to pitch Game One in Kansas City. So,
nice.
Yeah, we'll see how the next few days goes, but that's the plan as of right now.
Game one in Kansas City.
So Friday night, they're aiming the return for Kodai Senga.
And Sean Manaea, the plan, I believe, is to pitch Sunday after Clay Holmes comes out to piggyback him to get him some innings before the All-Star break.
Oh,
so you are going to have a weekend this weekend where you're going to get Senga. And
Senga Friday, and then...
Holmes will pitch Sunday to start, and then Manaea will come in and piggyback him to get loose. Now, some might be saying, why not just start Manaea on Sunday and not pitch Holmes, especially when you consider the rest. I believe I read today, and let me just double check this, the Mets don't want to give Holmes that long a layoff because he's been in routine either.
Oh, yeah. But you also don't want to put him back in a reliever
right.
role. You want to keep his mindset as a starter.
Right. My guess is you're going to get a shorter effort from Clay Holmes on Sunday to get Manaea in there and kind of work those two things. But look, while we've had all this negative news on the Yankees side, if you're a Met fan, that's enormous. Because
it's huge. It's because you've been waiting for the... Well, first of all, the rotation carried the first quarter, at least, of the season for the Mets because they weren't hitting, and they certainly weren't hitting with runners in scoring position, and it's finally started to flip a little bit. But if you can get Senga back, who I think is probably still leading the league in ERA...
Yeah, I'm not sure if he's lost the innings to qualify, but yes,
right,
he was.
But whatever it was, he was great. And then if Manaea comes back and is even a shell of what you expected him to be, you all of a sudden feel... okay about your starting rotation.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm laughing because I just made the mistake of seeing if there's any updated Met news on Twitter, and I immediately saw somebody tweet at me this comment.
Which one?
Sean, I had a bat in my house. I smashed it with a broom and killed it and threw it outside.
Well, hopefully they gave it a proper burial after.
Why?
Not exactly.
Just dig a hole.
Not exactly letting them live in the house because
whoever that was, I love it.
Smashed it with a broom.
Well, I mean, because we have two sides of the coin here. We have the exterminator saying you got to have the colony in your house because there are babies. And then you have the doc on the phone. Basically, everybody's got to get a vaccine shot because you can get rabies. And Tiki's going to be walking around like a zombie tomorrow.
If you're listening right now and you got the car 5 o'clock.
This is how the zombie apocalypse starts.
Yes. Tiki Barber has a bat in his house that could lead to bats, and if it's bats, he's not allowed to remove them. They have squatter's rights. That's where we've gotten to this point. Jay in Tom's River. Jay, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, Jay?
Well, first of all, that rabies story has me so paranoid that, like, if I get bats in my attic, I'm going to wake up and there's going to be, like, a family of bats nursing on me like kittens when I open my eyes.
Now I'm going to put, like, towels under my door, Jay.
That's what I'm saying. It's ridiculous. But, yeah, but even prior to hearing that, I have my my own bat story. I'm an electrical contractor, and we had a job that was delayed, like, 4 weeks. Because of bats in an attic.
Oh,
and like,
really?
I thought it was absurd. I thought the homeowner was trying to like get out of paying and like get out of doing the job. They're like, yeah, so the exterminator came and we can't commence work. And I'm like, what are you talking about? There's apparently like a timeline of months that you are not allowed to touch the bats or remove them.
That
you can't even put like a screen over like the gable vents. That's what I said.
Right.
This is like the circle of life.
Right. It's like, this is my house, man. This is not their abode.
Animals have too much rights. You can live outside my home. Until the bat starts paying a mortgage, you're not welcome.
What did Dave just tell us? Dave had bees?
Bees, yeah. Dave Marinick, our assistant program director, had honeybees in his house, and he called the exterminator and said, should we just kill him? I said, we can't.
Yes.
And he had the beekeeper came with the whole thing.
And had to transport him. Like,
yeah, because bees make the world go round. You need bees in the world.
I saw a bee movie. I'm aware.
We all need bees. Mm. Bats, different story.
This is where you go with the forgiveness over permission route. Just kill all of them and just be like, no biggie, my bad.
Does this apply to wasps, too, or just bees?
Just bees, because right. they do the pollination.
Which, that's great. Do the pollination in somebody else's house. 888-808-1019.
I'll tell you this, the last thing on your head, when you hit the pillow tonight, will be bats.
No, it'll be the first thing on my head. Well, that and the fact that, you know, if a bat bit me, the Yankees wouldn't diagnose it for 2 weeks. So. John in Bergen County. John, what's up?
Hey, John.
Hey, I'm going to save Tiki, the animal stuff for last. But I have two good points. Let me go.
Go ahead.
This is an Evan thing first. And then I'm a Met fan, but I want to protect the Yankees. So, Evan, you know, he's with his hat right on his head that he was wearing.
The bucket hat that he thinks is a floppy hat. Right.
Yeah, so we're watching the game on Sunday, and my wife wore a shirt on Saturday. They went to the game, and everyone's like, we won because of your shirt. So the Mets are getting ready to rally. I said, why don't you have that shirt on? Go put that shirt on. And what happens? Soto hits the shot to left. They throw out Lindor. I'm like, are you kidding me? I ripped the shirt off her back. Like...
Wow.
So no more shirt. No more good luck shirt.
You ripped the shirt off her back. I hope that resulted in a good time for you, John.
So now, wait. Now let me go with this. You guys need to stop abusing Volpe and Wells. If I had a catcher that was young.
Oh, I have no problem with Wells.
No. That was young. Let me finish. That have a chance to hit 40 home runs together and over 200 RBIs. That's unheard of.
Of course it is.
I wish I had that as a Mets fan.
You want Anthony Volpe? You can have him.
Okay, no. Well, you guys can talk after. Let me tell you, Tiki.
We can talk.
Tiki, you need to find where they're coming from and block them. I had bees. I had to go into my air conditioner thing, whatever, and block them. I had squirrels. What? I had to block them.
Where do you live?
Because they're going to come back.
Where do you live?
You just need to. I'm in North Arlington, Bergen County.
Oh, wow.
I'm in Bergen. I'm not even where you are.
Right.
I mean, and they come. I'm in Wilderness. My son's house is Wilderness. It's crazy.
That is crazy.
They all come. And you just need to block them.
You must be cooking well.
That's what that is. Yeah, thanks for calling. This makes me feel better because I had animal problems. Yeah. Everybody just has animals living in their
right.
house.
I think I just have sweet blood. They can smell it. I come in and suck your blood.
I just can't get over the idea.
Suck your blood.
Oh, that's disgusting. I just can't get over the idea of a bat nibbling on you, you not knowing, and then waking up and eating a rabies shot. Like, and that could, all of us could be walking around like that right now.
Of course.
That's
I really
crazy.
Worry about my dog, to be honest with you.
But wouldn't your dog bark?
CJ wouldn't. Millie would.
Yeah, so, like.
All right, my Dachshund would, but CJ wouldn't.
I feel like that's the
She'd
point of it.
She'd probably just like, oh, this is cute. Oh. What are you?
God. I'm just admiring the way Tiki says, because I always knew it as dachshund.
It's a dachshund.
But you're saying it dachshund.
Yes.
Because we had a dachshund before I was, oh, now I'm
you
saying
You also
wrong.
Probably called it a hot dog.
The wiener dog.
Yeah, the wiener dog. Heidi. Yeah, it's a, that's
Yeah, I always heard dachshund too. I thought this was a different kind of dog the way you were pronouncing
it. It's a dachshund.
Dachshund.
Yes.
German.
It's German.
Which would make sense why it looks like a wiener. Germans love
but
wieners.
But is this a Sade and a Sade type of thing, or a Marash and a Morash, as you would like to say it? Yeah. Or is it...
As I would like to say it, or as it's
no,
said?
No, because your last name's Marash.
No, it's not. It's
you act
Morash.
Like you're freaking basically high and mighty, and you're Morash, but you're Marash.
If you read the letters M-O-R, you pronounce it Mer or More.
Okay, so why for all these years, when everybody called you one way, you let it go?
Because I was a nobody. Now I'm a somebody, and you better say my name
somebody,
right.
But you are a somebody who is appearing on SNY. So SNY... Thank you very much for showing us again. As always, you're leaving us early because the Mets are playing early. But coming up next, Baseball Night in New York, brought to you by the Tri-State Cadillac Dealers.
That is what I was waiting for, Teak. I was waiting for your goodbye. Oh. And we've stretched long enough. When we come back, more calls on bats. both alive and the dead ones in the Yankee lineup. On the Mets as well as they get set for Baltimore and the Orioles. Tarp on the field, by the way. 888-808-1019. We do have a Yankee lineup that I think should please many as you approach Yankee Stadium today. I know it's pleasing me.
Yes.
As much as I've been angry at the way they've handled things, guess who's leading off for the New York Yankees tonight? Jason Dominguez.
Woohoo!
Jason Dominguez, who the last time he led off had two home runs versus the Mets on the 4th of July, then was immediately demoted to 6th in a lineup, immediately demoted to the bench. And I say this to say again, the Yankees have probably filled out their lineup card for the next six games.
Already.
And that is what's going to be infuriating. Dominguez might have a couple hits today and then not lead off tomorrow. Judge will bat second. Cody Bellinger bats third, playing center. Giancarlo will clean up the DH. Jazz Chisholm Jr., your second baseman, bats fifth. Paul Goldschmidt bats sixth at first. Austin Wells, the catcher, seventh. Anthony Volpe, eighth. Oswald Peraza, nine. Will Warren on the mound. I don't have trust in Will Warren, but of course, what are you going to do? Because they have to field a starting rotation. And Luis Gil, by the way, is going to throw a rehab game Sunday. They are looking to stretch him out as a starter. And you start doing the math, we get to whatever Sunday is going to be, the 12th or whatever. Give him a couple rehab starts to stretch out. It's going to be right around deadline time.
Yeah, so they'll know. The Yankees will, what they need additional if he's not available. Obviously, bullpen help is number one. Potentially a third baseman. We'll see how Peraza does. For those that missed it, we had this conversation a little bit earlier about Jazz Chisholm going to second, but that also means that Oswald Peraza is slotted in to play third base. And when asked about DJ LeMahieu, who also is a third baseman, Aaron Boone essentially said that's not happening.
Yeah, he can't physically do it, which we are steamrolling towards probably DJ LeMahieu being DFA'd. Boone also did say that DJ LeMahieu didn't take the news well. Shocker. Right. I mean, he's a prideful veteran. Right. Again, I don't have anger or hurtful feelings towards DJ LeMahieu, the player or person. He's just cooked. And unfortunately, that happens. And he's not the player he once was. But look, the Yankees got to do what's best for their team. You can't just hold on to guys out of, you know, pride and out of loyalty. That's not the way professional sports works. 888-808-1019. I'm going to play that Al Duke sound in a second, but we do have another call on bats. Chris in Michigan. Chris, what's up?
What up, Chris?
Kiki, Sean, Morash. How are you guys doing?
What's up, Chris? Fantastic. Thanks.
Okay, so I had this incident when we moved into our new house. We had bat poop and iguana all over the front porch.
Oh, jeez.
And so we looked
into it. Wait. Bat poop and an iguana?
No, guano.
Oh.
Guano.
Haven't you seen Ace Ventura?
Yeah, I don't remember anything from it.
Guano.
That's bat poop?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. I'm sorry. I thought you said you had bat poop and an iguana. I'm like, what a combo.
So it's extremely, like, bad and poisonous. You can't track it around because it creates all these things. We had little kids at the time that crawled around on the carpet. So we looked to get them removed. They were in the shutters right above the door, and they said the same thing. Well, you can't really remove them. You can't kill them. They're protected. So I was thinking of going up there myself and caulking them in, but they said that would be terrible in the summer because all you would smell is rotting bats. So there's something that they might be able to use for you, Tiki. It's called a bat door.
A bat door.
They can fly in or they can fly out, but they can't fly back in.
Oh, interesting.
And eventually they all kind of want to do that.
Right.
And before I go real quick, you guys were talking about getting nibbled on and stuff like that. I don't know about that happening or anything. But it reminded me of a movie I just actually watched a couple days ago. It's called Sinners. You guys got to see it.
We
did. If you haven't.
We watched it. I watched it over the weekend.
Thanks for the call, Chris.
Right.
Tiki talked about it at the end of yesterday's show.
Yes.
I did not watch Sinners last night.
It is a good flick. Tracy didn't love it.
You said Max, right?
It's on Max.
Max. Yeah, I got caught up in Franklin the Turtle last night with my kids.
What?
Not a good scene.
I didn't convince you to go Phineas and Ferb?
No, I walked in on something. They were already in the middle of it. And what we've hit now in our house, Tiki, is all rules are gone out the window in the summer. Like, bedtimes are out the window, nothing.
Of course.
And the kids were not going to sleep last night. And they were really not listening to me at all. And I've lost control of my house.
Hey, that's when you just quit and go to bed.
I basically did. I did. That's how I spent my Yankee and Met free night.
You guys want to stay up?
Yeah.
Fine. Stay up.
This stupid turtle was complaining that its parents were having another baby and he went left home and roamed around the woods moping to everybody that he was going to be forgotten about. Hey, this was the story. What a dumb movie.
So I guess you're not having any more babies.
Mike Taylor don't want no more. She told me. I'm done.
Not now.
How about that guy having like a doggy door for bats?
It's actually a good idea.
It's a creative idea. I've never even thought about that. I don't know.
That's a good idea from Chris.
Why would you have thought about that, Paul?
What
universe would you have been in that spot to think about that?
I'm like a Renaissance man, and I would like to think that I could think of random things.
Have you ever had bats?
No.
Yeah. So why would you have thought about
thank
bats?
Thank you.
I think about things.
Do you? You not, think about this show?
Not too hard, clearly.
You want to do it for mice?
Yeah.
Have mice in my apartment have an exit?
Exactly.
You can't come back in?
Exactly.
Until they learn how to hold the exit open and then they all come back in?
Ew, that's disgusting. I can't have that happening. I'm so sick and tired of rodents. Allie in Tom's River. Allie, what's up?
What up, Allie?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
What's going on?
Guys. So I was listening to you guys announce the lineup for tonight, which, yay, Jake. Station Domingmas is leading off.
Yeah, every day, Jay.
But, yeah. So my only question is, and I've almost thought about this all season, was why do we have Judge batting second? We don't really give anybody a chance to get on for him. You know, why not push him back to third?
Well, we've had this argument with Evan, Allie. Thanks for the call. Look, baseball's changed. You want guys to have as many at-bats as possible. And yes. I think when you bat, remember the Yankees did this forever with Derek Jeter, too, batting second. When you take your best hitter and bat him second, I actually think that is the perfect spot to do it because you're going to try to maximize their at-bats, but also give an opportunities for one other of your big bats in front of you to get on base. The reason I don't like hitting Aaron Judge leadoff, as Evans talked about, is way less run production, especially with the crappy players batting eighth, ninth, like Volpe and Peraza.
Right, but if those guys can figure out how to get on base, it could potentially create those run-scoring opportunities for Aaron Judge. But that's, I mean, seems like a heavy lift right now because Peraza's at 154.
Yeah.
I forget what his on-base is, but it's not great right now. And Anthony Volpe's on-base is 300, something like that.
And Judge batting second, I also think, when we've had this argument about whether you intentionally walk him or not, Bellinger is living in the midst of a hit streak right now. He's been hot. You still have the threat of Giancarlo after that and then Jazz after that. So while we've all talked about what is the singular bat you could hit behind Aaron Judge to prevent the walks, I don't know, Tiki. If I'm going to walk Aaron Judge, maybe I make that call, but if Bellinger, Stanton, and Jazz are actually going well and you only have one out or no outs, you're putting a guy on and saying, man, I'm going to have to get through two or three of these guys in a row to get out of this inning. That is a task.
No, it is. It definitely is.
That's why I like the way this lineup is structured.
And Bellinger hasn't been great behind Judge when he walks.
Right.
And so he's been good, but he hasn't been great behind Judge when he walks. That's a specific situation there. So you almost want to think about putting Goldschmidt there. But that also doesn't quite line up because it shortens you a little bit.
And so it does.
I feel like Bellinger is the best bet. He's been there the most, I think.
Yeah, and I think he should be. By the way, the more the season's gone on, I really have fallen in love with Cody Bellinger's game, too. He does have complete ball player type stuff. He gives you the power when you need it, but he's not home run or nothing. Makes contact, I think has a good approach. Yeah, okay, he's not going to hit 300 the entire year or anything like that. But I think he's a complete versatile baseball player that I do think slides in the best option they have right behind Aaron Judge. Alex in New Canaan. I just want to make a something here. Alex in New Canaan we have up. He wants to mention bats too.
I'm going to bring the bats to you, Kiki.
Alex.
Hold on one second, Alex.
I just want to make a point. The Knicks had a press conference for their head coach today, and we have officially hit the point that more people have a thought on bats in Tiki's home today than what Mike Brown had to say today as the Knicks head coach. Just an observation.
All right, go ahead, Alex.
I'm a
Celtics fan.
You really don't care.
I don't, but I like listening to you guys.
Thank you, man.
Tiki, before I talk to you about the bat, I just wanted to tell you, I tried to call you last week. I spoke to Zuby because he was the only one that mentioned it. And I know you're a Liverpool guy.
Yeah.
And I'm Portuguese. And so, obviously, Jota was a huge problem, especially to my family because they follow soccer very closely.
Yeah, it was tragic. It was very tragic.
It was horrible.
They're mourning. All Liverpool fans are mourning. Diogo Jota, who is a forward for Liverpool, passed away over the weekend. Him and his brother.
And his brother.
They were driving an excessive rate.
In Spain, 75 miles an hour.
Right, and a Lamborghini, I think.
Lamborghini.
They have video of it. It caught a tire, turned sideways, flipped, and was in flames in seconds. Yeah. So It was extraordinarily sad, and he's going to be missed for sure.
So sad, so sad. And, you know, because I'm a Red Sox fan, I can't stand the Fenway group, but they did the right thing.
Right,
they paid the family, and they're doing the right thing. They actually
did something very unique. Just since you bring that up, Alex, so instead of, they fired him, basically. And so by firing him, they'd allowed them to pay out his contract to his now wife. He got married 2 weeks ago.
He got married on the 11th, two weeks ago.
And then he passed away, but they had kids together. So by firing him, they paid him out, and then he gets she'll get the rest of his contract. If they would have just let the death benefit take over, it would have gotten taxed and would have been significantly less. So that's what he's alluding to.
Okay, they did right financially.
They did right financially by his family.
That's incredible.
So I'm not going to bet John Henry for the rest of the year. He did the right thing.
Right.
But anyway, I wanted to mention it to you on the fan because they mentioned it up in the Boston sports radios. But, you know, Fall River, New Bedford, they got a lot of, you know, following over there.
Right.
Zoo had mentioned it the other day as well.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you brought it up.
He's a Liverpool fan, but I wanted to say that because it was an absolute shame. With the bats, I've got bats here. I'm in Fairfield County.
Okay.
And so there's a couple things. One, bats are great because, first of all, they can bite you and they can bite a dog if they feel threatened. So this thing that they don't, they can, but they won't attack him. They only protect as long as they don't feel threatened.
Right.
I put up bat houses. They eat like between 800 and 1,000 mosquitoes an hour.
I'm telling you, dude.
That's what's great about them.
They're great. I actually should do that, Alex. I should put up a bat
house. That's what I do.
What is a bat house?
It's just a house that allows them to hang.
Like a birdhouse, but for bats?
Yeah.
But it looks like it's like a box. Imagine a shoebox.
Okay.
With the bottom, you put it up the long way on the wall of like I got them against my house and on my barn. You put it up the long way, and underneath it, you open up. It's got an opening. They fly up underneath, and that's where they settle. You can buy them anywhere.
Right.
But anyway, what I wanted to tell you is the saliva is the only thing you got to be careful. So, but seems like because you got them in the house, but you can get a wildlife control person in there to take them out. The exterminators can't because they're protected because of the ecosystem.
That's a good idea, Alex. So
but
I told
you can get wildlife control to take them out because if they escape and their saliva drips anywhere on the furniture or anything like that, then you can pick it up off of that.
Well, I just talked to my wife about, or I texted with her. Obviously, I didn't talk to her. So apparently, there's a vent, even though there's no chimney for this little fireplace. It comes out the side of the wall side of the house that we never go on, right? So it's just there's nothing on that
just
side. It's just honestly, it's just trees there, you know, protecting against the visual from the house next door, the Schmuelers. And so we never look there. There's a vent there. So apparently the one bat, there is no colony.
All right. So that's a win for the Barbers.
There's no colony. There was one bat that went into this little vent.
Just found a hole.
And it got into that chimney. And so what we're being asked to do is just wait for it to leave. So because it can't get out of the fireplace.
While your mother-in-law's holding the garbage bag over it.
Well, apparently she did that because she was scared.
Okay.
But the fireplace is sealed.
Oh, so she doesn't have to do it.
Right. So if we opened it, it could get out and get in the house. But it's a sealed glass fireplace. And there's a vent on the outside of the house that we never go on. So as soon as it leaves the vent, we'll just put a mesh screen
over that
on the vent, and then we shouldn't have to worry about it.
All right. Well, that's a relief.
So maybe there's a solution for the bat problem. There's no colony. I don't have to worry about a rabies shot. It's not been wandering around my house in the middle of the night.
Oh, my God.
Stalking me and biting my dogs and potentially turning me and my family into zombies.
What an afternoon. By the way, Tiki, next time you have a bad story this good, let's lead with it. Well, what a day for the Colts.
Are you kidding me? Tomorrow, I expect to lead with what happened from tonight.
Jeez.
What made me laugh about that story, not just the Schmueller line. Yeah. The Schmuelers.
We got to have the private pictures from the Schmuelers.
That's their name.
I know, but it was like not that.
It was like the most stock suburb neighbor name you could come up with.
You live next to Joe Girardi. Yeah. Like the Girardi. The Schmuelers.
Everybody knows the Schmuelers.
Jersey, of course. Tiki said the part of the house we never go to, which for my wife is the kitchen. I'm joking. But can you imagine having a part of your house that you never go to?
No. It's the outside of the house.
How big is that? Look,
like you have the front of the house. You guys haven't seen my house. You got to come over for a party.
Let's go.
It's the front of my house, you see. The left side of my house is the garage. The back of my house is the backyard with the pool and the trampoline.
What you're saying. Everybody's got that one house.
The right side of the house, there's nothing there.
Right.
Other than the trees are blocking the Schmueller's house.
So except for the occasional power washing for the Schmueller's house, you're never over there.
Exactly.
I totally understand that. It's just, it's incredible. And what I really learned about today more than anything else, you know, you could scream and yell about the Yankees all you want. There's a whole other world out there with a bunch of people listening that have all this input on bats.
Life happens, man.
And it makes me feel better because, again, I've had a possum, the rabbits, the rats. It's insane.
I would have freaked out if a possum fell out of my ceiling.
Yeah, I did. But what I preach to everybody is there are parts of if you're a homeowner in these suburbs, Connecticut, Long Island, New Jersey, you don't realize one little crack in any kind of siding or anything underneath your house, that's all it takes. One little opening. They're not like us jamming through a door trying to get through a Six Flags ride. They could get in your house. And people are getting bats in their house and everything else.
We had voles in our basement once.
What's a vole?
It looks like a mouse. Tracy thought it was a mouse, but it wasn't. It was a vole.
Is that the thing with the big ears?
It looks like a mouse, but it's not a mouse. I'll show you.
Oh God.
This is a vole.
Oh, I've seen those things. Oh, that fat little thing.
Exactly. Oh. So exactly, they got in this little tiny crack.
And they don't want to be there either.
Of course not. They just kind of wandered in. And so we caught them. We only found out what they were because we put down like those sticky traps that you're talking about. Because Tracy thought they were mice. I'm like, where the hell? There's no mice.
Oh.
And so we caught them and we're like, oh, these are not like mice.
Oh,
these
that's
are voles.
Probably doing that.
So we had to seal up the thing and then that stopped the problem.
It's very ironic that Tiki has bats alive in his house and we can't get the baseball bats of the New York Yankees to wake up.
You know, as an apartment person here, one of the few at the Fan, everybody owns homes, it seems. My biggest issue is usually, you know, a cockroach or bugs, which I hate because I have my wife kill them. I can't even stand the sight of them. But I realize owning a home, you deal with way worse than bugs. Like
definitely.
Like we have some type of moth issue right now where there's just a moth in our house every day, small one. And I'm like, can't figure out what's going on with it. And my wife just takes the mentality of, well, it'll go away eventually. Well, eventually has now been a few weeks. But the idea that you wake up to bats or rats, that's where I would never go back in the house. I'm serious.
Bigger living space, bigger problems, man. You got to remember, where all the houses are built, these were all woods at some point in time. There's only so many places for animals to go. I mean, they're out there.
We have deer like walking around our front yard like, hey, what's up, dude?
Right.
In fact, Tracy has this video of CJ, our Saluki, with this deer who she named Sophia.
Naming the deer.
Tracy named the deer because it was always there on a backyard on the other side of the fence. And so CJ they're Salukis. They look like greyhounds, but it has hair.
Right.
And so they're built, they were bred to run and catch like gazelles in the desert.
Jeez.
So they're fast as hell. And so what would happen is CJ would get on one side of the fence and Sophia would be on the other side and they would like run back and forth.
Like playing with each other.
Playing with each other.
Incredible.
It was clear recognition of another.
Right. Like you're an animal. I'm an animal. Let's run and have some fun.
Let's run. They were playing with each other and it was so bizarre.
That is cool.
I was like, who the hell?
See?
Like, this is what 4-year-olds would do.
It's not what you get in Kew Gardens with Tommy.
No.
Tommy's worried about moths.
Right.
Was hoping it would actually be another West Wing character that the deer was named. That would have been, you know, the next level
stuff.
Well,
unfortunately, Seaborn passed away.
Jeez. We are getting a lot of sad stories here. What is happening?
Seaborn was another dog that we were friends with.
Oh,
that was the Hazeltons.
Chris Kirschner, by the way, The Athletic, did say it is possible the end of DJ LeMahieu and Pinstripes is nearing the end, which is not a shock.
Right. I mean, you said it was in a couple of weeks. It could happen this week.
Now that I'm starting to think about it, if he was that unhappy with it, we could get some news tomorrow.
Right, or tonight.
Or tonight, yeah. Like, this could be a post-game situation now that they've had this conversation. Mm-hmm. So be on the lookout for the end of DJ LeMahieu as a New York Yankee, whether that means the end of his career or whatnot. But LeMahieu...
What is he, 36?
I think he's 36. That feels young.
It does, relatively speaking, but...
He just looks old,
He's been hurt so much.
You nailed it. He's 36.
But he's been hurt so much. And it just... He lost that that whatever aura that he had. Because it was the point. You said it earlier, Sean. You were right. He was a good Yankee.
He was.
For a while. He's lost it. And it's not his fault. It's age. It's injury.
Of course.
It happens to the best of every athlete.
It's ironic because the Yankees entered last year in spring training with him penciled in as the leadoff hitter. Hmm. And think about where we are a year and a half later with DJ LeMahieu. And that organization still made the World Series last year. 888-808-1019. I cannot believe the board we have here. Keith and Ocean. Keith, what's up?
What up, Keith?
Hey, Tiki. All right, so this is the deal with the bat.
Go ahead.
You just touched on it when you had that thing in the basement. Now I have a guy. He comes to the house and he doesn't mind killing things. We had a bat in our attic.
Okay.
They sit on the vent of the ridgeline, and he wedged himself in day by day, and it would move further and further away. Long story short, the mouse trap that you were talking about, right. You were killing whatever you were killing.
Those voles. Yeah.
The vole. Okay. If you take that sticky mouse thing, and it's messed up. I'm not gonna lie.
Right.
And you take it and you put it wherever. If you put it on the wall, because the bat is very much like a mouse.
Right. Didn't I say to do
it? It's going to stick to it. To stick to it.
I said that. Jeez. Tape that up to the ceiling. They fly up.
Keith, one of my Italian friends.
That's brutal.
Don't come into an Italian's house uninvited.
Because you'll get glue trapped yourself.
Exactly.
We did this in my apartment because we had, this was last year when we didn't have the moths, but it was mosquitoes, and we did this. It was sticky stuff. My wife got it maybe off Amazon. You hung it, you know, from the ceiling.
See, that's tough.
And you wake up, and it's basically a mosquito graveyard in your house, right. And there was like 50 of them stuck to it.
The spiral thing? That's spiral tape.
Spiral tape.
I have to be honest. That grosses me out than more than a one-and-done rodent on a regular glue trap.
I think you're right.
If I see a hanging strip somewhere.
Like 40 of them. Or 500 of them.
That 1,000% makes me more queasy than like one singular rodent on a glue trap.
By the way, you know it's more satisfying?
What?
The buzz, the electric buzzer.
My brother-in-law has one of those, and he was killing bugs in our house. He got such satisfaction out of doing this. He was like, come here, I got to show you how to do it. I'm like, I don't care how you do it. But
are those old school ones still popular in the backyards and places?
Yeah.
Remember when we were younger?
The lamp.
Yeah. The lamp? People still got those?
We were up at Nicole's house the other day, and she had one, and there were tons of bugs.
And you just kept hearing them getting zapped.
I was like, man, this is like music.
You know what else we used to do? And this is really messed up. Wiffle ball bat in the backyard.
Uh-huh.
Lightning bug time. When you start flashing. On. That's where you'd work on your swing.
Come on.
And the moment they light up.
That's cruel.
It is cruel, but that's what
harmless.
You did.
Lightning bugs are harmless,
dude,
man.
I'm not making it seem like
we
that's a good thing.
We caught one yesterday. Brooklyn, my 11-year-old, caught one yesterday in her hand and just let it outside. And here you are taking batting practice. Lightning bugs.
That was a Long Island thing. You got up there. It was July, August night. Come on, Tommy. You were there.
Sean is 100% right.
You got that yellow wiffle ball bat about 8:30. Bing, bing, bing. That was a good time when you were 10 years old.
You know what bug I hated I was definitely afraid of? The cicadas?
Yeah.
Whatever they were called.
Oh, those things that make all that noise.
Oh, my God. They gave me the creeps.
I don't understand them, though. They say they hatch once every 15 years, and I feel like I see them every other year.
I haven't seen one in forever.
And they used to have the shells that are left behind in the trees.
It was the worst.
How disgusting. What do we live with? All right, we'll finish.
See what happens when there's no baseball in the summer.
Exactly.
Or no Evan.
I've had some of the most fun radio I've had over the last hour in a long time. And you know somebody's screaming, more about DJ LeMahieu.
There'll be more games to talk about tomorrow.
Of course. And we got a big night of baseball. We will get you set for that when we come back. Could be some rain delays in the forecast.